me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters: Q for a question, C for a comment, E to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. All right, everybody, you're very welcome to October's meeting. Just have a proposal to put to you before we start. Just on the Cleansing and Refuge Task Group and Sustainability Working Group, we are going to propose that we amalgamate those two so that those meetings then become quarterly meetings. So the next one will be in November, and then the following meeting will not be again until February. It just takes the pressure off of everybody if everyone was in agreement that the two, the task force. Yeah?
Is
everyone else happy enough to do that? Okay, so we'll bring a new schedule to the next committee meetings of dates and times of the meetings. Pardon? Well, we'll start with this one first, Mr. Councillor Rowan. All right. Have we any apologies?
Yes, a couple of apologies. Councillor, I think it's Councillor Killian Fahan from Set Out 3.
Item 2 is declarations of interest. Any declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
Okay, we move on to item 3, which is the action sheet of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 16th of September. We'll take each page 10, page 11, page 12, and page 13. Was there any items arising? We're not getting. Yeah.
If they can hear you.
Well, they should be hearing enough.
But we did have an issue with those.
All right. Excellent. Can you hear now, Siobhan?
Yeah.
It's okay. Martin Hardy say, heard he saying it's okay for him.
Councillor Finn can hear.
Must be around.
Just checking here again, see can online viewers hear me?
Yes.
Yeah?
No yeah.
Problem. Thank you. All right, so we were on item 3 there, so there was no issues arising there for the action sheet? No. Can I get a proposer and a seconder?
Julie proposed, Chair.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Jackson. Thank you. OK, Okay, so we move on to item four, which is the officer report on the notice of motion for the Climate Change Act. Connor.
Thanks, Chair. The purpose of this report is to facilitate discussion on the notice of motion received from Councillor Riley as deferred from Council meeting on 6th of October 2025 in accordance with Standing Order 16.1.16 on the Climate Change Act. The report provides a summary of the Climate Change Act and the associated public body reporting regulations, and it also briefly highlights Council's current priorities with regard to climate change and sustainability. So members are asked to consider the motion and note the ongoing work by Council to comply with the legislative requirements of the Climate Change Act. Consider the recommendations of the motion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Connor. Councillor Riley, would you like to speak to your motion, or
is it gone? Yes, that's all right, Madam Chair. Well, Chairman, the reason why the notice of motion was brought, we believe that the UK Act has already led to higher electricity prices for households and created punitive effects on consumers by driving up the cost of manufactured goods and the cost of daily essentials like milk, bread and butter, and this will be exacerbated by the Northern Ireland 2022 Climate Act, which is targeting local agriculture, transport and industry. We believe it harms industrial competitiveness. The Climate Act is creating high energy costs in the UK by the drive to net zero and the carbon emissions trading scheme. The Northern Ireland 2022 Act will squeeze out industries like chemicals, engineering, fabrication, manufacturing, by creating higher costs than international competitors. And this will, in turn, will force local industries to relocate to regions of the world where there are little or no regulations on the emission of greenhouse gases. The whatever it costs drive that the UK government seems to want to implement to decarbonise the economy and society will have long-term detrimental effects, as the so-called investment in the green economy sucking in imports of solar panels and wind turbines that are manufactured almost exclusively in China. It makes no sense whatsoever to leave our country sucking in imports of solar panels and wind turbines that are manufactured in China. It makes no sense whatsoever to leave our country open to the whims of a totalitarian world power like China. I have no doubt that pursuing aggressive climate action as demanded by the 2022 Northern Ireland Climate Bill Act will, while other countries do not follow the same rules, is an expensive approach that puts Northern Ireland at a competitive disadvantage. The cruel facts: the combined European drive to decarbonise has reduced greenhouse emissions across the continent by 27%, while the world output of greenhouse gases have increased by 53%, driven by China and developing countries like India and Indonesia. The ridiculous thing to consider is that England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland combined only account for slightly less than 1% of the global carbon emissions, yet we appear intent to damage our industries and communities and national prosperity, while the USA, Asia and the BRICS nations power ahead using cheap, reliable sources of energy. The Nurian Morning Down aspect: while it makes sense to conserve fuel, recycle and reuse as much as possible to create sustainable systems, we have seen how the 2022 Northern Ireland Climate Act has led to the virtual abandonment of the vital A5 road development. We should be concerned that the Act has been used at present to blunt the move to create a new civic centre in Newry, and will be used to stop or delay vital projects like the Newry Southern Relief Road and Ballinahinch Bypass unless the Act is amended. So our proposal to make it possible to progress vital infrastructure projects unhindered and allow our agriculture and industry to prosper without the shackles of arbitrary and unrealistic demands in regards to decarbonisation. So, Chairman, our notice of motion says that the Act be appealed by the Northern Ireland Assembly and that workable legislation introduced. John, I just want to second that.
Thank you.
Tess can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, as Henry knows, I'm a chartered accountant with 20 years' worth of CPD experience in the economics of sustainable development. And I've got a postgraduate qualification from the British Centre for Building the Built Environment and Renewable Energy from Wales. And I've studied this area extensively for many years. I was recently commissioned by the National Association of Councillors to produce a book analysing the finances of council and the impact that climate change and climate change legislation would have on councils. And I was unable to find a single area of council's operations that wouldn't be immeasurably improved financially by action on climate. In fact, the book was called How the Green Economy Can Fund Local Government. I was very careful in writing it in order to take sensibilities of all councillors into account, because there's DUP people on the National Association of Councillors. So I carefully avoided climate, carbon, and environment as words within the book, and focused purely on finance. And there wasn't a single area of council operations that wouldn't be hugely benefited, either in terms of extra income, lower costs, or the broadening of the rate base. And I was subsequently nominated by a DUP chairperson of NILGA for this book on account of the tremendous opportunities it opened up for councils around Northern Ireland. But picking up on what Henry was saying about the costs of energy in Britain, the costs of energy in Britain are driven by sanctions against Russia, as they are generally in Europe. The cost of energy in China crashed to all-time lows, kind of now operating at an average energy cost 40% of what's being charged in the UK. This has been driven by renewables, much lower costs of renewables. The BBC reported last week that for the first time solar replaced outstripped coal as the primary source of energy across the world, and it was driven by a huge solar farms being implemented in India and in China. And China in particular implemented more renewable energy last year than Britain has done since the 1970s, cumulatively. And it appears that next year India and China are going to implement more renewable energy than the whole of Europe has implemented cumulatively since the 1970s. We're talking about the third world, the developing world, totally outstripping the West, and getting lower costs and becoming more competitive because they are becoming sustainable with new and cheaper forms of fuel. So, Henry, I'd ask you to examine where you're coming from with this, because if finances don't stack up for what you're talking about, the Climate Change Act is an enormous gift to the people of Northern Ireland, purely on financial terms, completely ignoring any environmental or climate aspects. So I would say I'm suggesting we vote against this motion or substantially amend it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor Taylor?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I suppose I would say in the first instance that Northern Ireland obviously has a role to play in today's climate emissions. But I may also, there are concerns about the current act that is in place, the impact that it is having on industries, on infrastructure projects, on our agricultural community, as an instance. And whilst I would certainly not maybe use the word repeal for the Act, I certainly think it does need reviewed, and the party would certainly look at that, because there are many of the targets included in it that are unachievable, really, at this point in time. So to continue on with what we have in place at the minute is really going to create further problems down the line, and probably at the time, was it given the full scrutiny it required? I'm not sure it was, when you look at the problems that we're now encountering with it, in terms of the impact that it is having, as I've already said, on industries and projects that are particularly key projects in terms of improving our infrastructure in Northern Ireland. So it's something that we do need to look at and that the executive should consider from a review point of view. I'm not sure how strongly Henry is on that. If he was happy to change the word repeal to review the Northern Ireland Climate Change Act, I would certainly be happy enough to support that. I think just to repeal it at this stage, without actually looking at how it can be reviewed or making sure that there's changes made that assists both the agricultural community and the other issues that are obviously prevalent at this stage. Regarding the unachievable targets and other aspects of it, I'm not sure I could fully support what's proposed at this moment in time, but I certainly have my own concerns about it, as I've outlined, and I think a review certainly should be undertaken of aspects of the Climate Change Act as it stands at this moment in time.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Taylor, is that an amendment you're looking to put to Councillor Riley there? Councillor Riley, are you willing to accept it?
I would accept that amendment if the other parties were going to accept it.
We have Councillor Hardy to come in online there, so we'll let him come in here first.
Councillor Enright covered most of the main points there in terms of not only the need for the Climate Change Act, but the tremendous potential it has for economic benefits. So I was just going to restrict myself to the motion itself. The first part of it calls for the repeal or potentially the review of the Climate Change Act. I find this slightly bizarre. Coming from Councillor Riley, every single major party in the Assembly voted in favour of the Climate Change Act, including Councillor Riley's own party. And it wasn't a mistake or something done in the spur of the moment. Every single line of the Climate Change Act was gone through over a period of weeks, painstakingly in the Assembly, and voted on. And as I said, every single party voted in favour of it. Not only did Councillor Riley's party vote in favour of it, but it was Councillor Riley's party colleague, Minister Poots, who introduced the Climate Change Act. So I find the first part of the motion to be slightly bizarre. In terms of the second part of it, that we request that the Assembly replace it with workable legislation, I find that phrase vague to the point of meaninglessness. And frankly, I'd be mortified if this council was to write to the Assembly with such an ill-thought-out and half-baked motion. Look, the reports from the IPCC are completely beyond debate at this stage. Climate change is here, it is real, and it is having effects not only in the parts of the world that are more susceptible to the extreme effects of it, but it's having serious effects here in Ireland. And if you want proof of that, you need only look at the increase, the record number of storms that we're now facing, the record power of those storms. The 2025 was the hottest summer since records began. And if you want further proof of it, you only need go and look at the colour of Loch Ness. So I would be opposed to this motion. I find it, frankly, to be an unserious motion, and I think we should dismiss it and move along with the proper business of the committee.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Finn?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I would like to actually concur with the comments of Councillor Hardy, particularly in relation to the work that went forward on the 2022 Climate Change Act. I think everybody in this chamber will have some awareness of the amount of work that went into that, and indeed it was passed actually and brought forward by a DUP minister, so I do find this quite jarring this evening. The reality is that climate change is one of the biggest threats that we face full stop globally, and we need to have legislation that recognises the scale of the threat that we are facing, and we shouldn't be acting to dilute that. I think it's probably important to note that the legislation was passed in 2022 and the Assembly was then collapsed. So if we're behind on targets, it's probably not surprising, but it is a really shameful that we didn't have Stormont in place to actually look at how that can properly be implemented. We are behind on targets, but we didn't have a government there to actually do any of the work that was required to do that. I think there are, as Councillor Enright suggested, with any of the kind of climate change impact that we can have, financial aspects that are to be improved, as well as actually the big thing here that is protecting our environment for generations to come. So the SLP won't be supporting the motion tonight nor the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Finn. There seems to be dissent in the chambers to the motion, so we will put it to a vote, sir. Is that a... You can.
The issues that Carrigan has brought, yes, it makes sense to be as sustainable as you possibly can. That makes sense. We're all for that. But I'll give Carrigan an example. In Spain, that has a very sunny climate, the reliance on solar brought huge regions of Spain to a halt just a few months ago, and it became the primary source of power. And there are now demands to avoid base redundancy built into their system. In the Republic, the legislation, which is quite similar to the Northern Ireland Act, it says pursue the objectives. It doesn't set it in stone like the way that the Northern Ireland Act does. And in terms of what County Hardy says, disappointed that you couldn't give serious consideration to this notice of motion, because it was brought with good intent. And to dismiss it, I think, is very unfair. And you mentioned that the DUP, Edwin Putz, introduced it. Edwin Putz was forced to introduce this legislation because Sinn Féin, SDLP and Alliance had indicated that they were going to support the Green Party's submission, which private members' bill, which was even worse. Edwin Putz actually mitigated the worst effects of what the Greens were brought in. But even that now has proven too difficult to manage. On the A5, is Councillor Hardy seriously saying that a road where so many people have died on, that can be dismissed? Is Sinn Féin saying that all the farmers that are going to have their livestock numbers cut back, that he accepts that? That the heart of the Irish farming community in Northern Ireland would be decimated by the proposals that we're seeing being brought forward at the present time. So you cannot dismiss this, Councillor Hardy. This is a very, very serious issue that goes to the heart of every community in Northern Ireland, and especially every rural community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. I don't think anyone's dismissing the seriousness of the issue. I think they're just not agreeing with the motion in the way you have it. So we'll put it to a vote and we'll see where we go from there. Yeah, we're just going to have a show of hands. So, who wants? Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Clark is absent.
Against.
Oh, sorry, he's not at all.
Oh,
Councillor Enright?
Aye, aye.
Councillor Fain is absent. Councillor Finn?
Against.
Councillor Hardy?
Against.
Jackson? Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Kate Murphy? Councillor O'Hare? Councillor Riley? Councillor Wan? Councillor Sherriff? Councillor Young?
Against.
We'll have 2-4, 11 against. And
thanks, Chair. This report is for decision that the committee consider and approve the submission of the attached draft consultation response. Suggested changes or additions can be added and passed on to DARA to be included in the consultation response. Taking the report as read, I would just note about some dates. A response had to be prepared and submitted to meet the deadline, which was on the 8th of October 2025. stipulating that the draft response is subject to council approval, and obviously, as said before, amendments can be made if required. So it's recommended that the committee consider and agree the submission of the attached consultation response in Appendix 1, including any comments or additions as necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. I just say, overall, this is a really excellent submission, and it's got a huge number of positives. I'll just make a few suggestions. It mentions how grid reinforcement and uncertainty of a grid connection is a big issue for the implementation of renewable energy. I totally agree with that. Could we add on the fact how this particularly affects farming? Because certainly in my area, farmers have become very reluctant to shell out anything from 20,000 to 100,000 to get planning permission for renewable energy on their farms when they have no certainty at all about whether they're going to get connection. And there's no incentives for farmers to get into renewable energy. Yes, right across the border, on the same grid, with the same grid owner, farmers are being hugely incentivized financially to connect to the grid and to generate renewable energy as part of their farm operations, grant-funded to do so. And it's just creating a disparity between the this. In the south, they don't have this level of uncertainty about connectivity. And having to apply for planning permission first before you are given allowed to apply to connect to the grid makes no sense at all. So I'd just like that bit to be tightened up a bit. The whole area of just transition was extremely good. I think some sort of a reference to, I don't know if any of you have seen the Belfast local area plans database it has on houses across Belfast, where it now has a database on the energy efficiency of every single house in Belfast. You can analyse by house, by street, by ward, or by DEA. So when the British government finally brings forward the sort of grant upgrades you've been seeing in the Republic for upgrading houses over the last 10 years, Belfast will be ready to funnel money into areas in Belfast that most need support, which is something that I think every council in Northern Ireland should be doing. But I think we need to refer to that sort of a mechanism in order to improve the just transition. There's some very good comments about the energy transition in rural areas for EVs and how there's no access to public transport and people in rural areas needing transport. And how we need to finance or help people living in rural areas, particularly in poverty, living in poverty, have access to EVs in order to reduce their, improve that, to ensure they don't miss out on the benefits of the energy transition. I was particularly pleased with the way in which the council is questioning the extension of the gas network rather than the electricity network. In my area, there's been £56 million expended in the gas network, and only £11 million would have been necessary to upgrade the electricity grid. At the moment now, businesses all across our district aren't able to connect to the grid. Like Henry and I have discussed this before, where factories in Kilkeel have to run diesel generators. It's the same in Ardglass. Dairy farms have to run generators because they can't get connectivity to the grid. And farmers generally across the area can't get connectivity to the grid for their renewable energy. So it's sheer lack of spending £56 million extending the gas network, which would have, for instance, have funded any up to 7,000 retrofits of houses in energy poverty and wiped out energy poverty over much of East Down. I'm particularly pleased in the way it's pressing the Department of Finance on Passive House or NEDZEP standards, as in the Republic. We're in this extraordinary situation now where a new house built in County Louth will be £2,000 a year cheaper to run than the same house built on the northern half of the border in South Armagh, simply because we haven't implemented British house standard, the latest British building regulations. The last thing I would say is we need some sort of a reference to local area development plans. Most of the local area development plans, in fact, all the local area plans published so far are extremely weak on renewable energy. For instance, when you look at our LDP, you can see that we have highlighted how 69% of our council area, i.e. all the rural areas, are unsuitable for renewable energy because they have some form of protection or other, leaving just the urban areas. So basically, there'll be no renewable energy in South Armagh, and there'll be no renewable energy in the Kale, because we have, in our LDP, eliminated the possibility of ever having, because we've repeated basically the same prohibitions we had in the 2016 LDP. So there needs to be something about modifying the LDPs with a climate emergency planning policy to facilitate the implementation of renewable energy in every council in Northern Ireland. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor Andrews?
Thank you very much, Chair. And I must say that was a very interesting conversation for me, Councillor Enright. And I'm happy enough to support the recommendations as outlined in Section 3 of the paper. And thanks to Eamon and colleagues for all their hard work in preparing and pulling together the submission that is before us this evening, and hope the submission will be successful. I hope to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Riley?
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the DUP supports the United Kingdom's long-term net zero ambitions and will advocate for policy and initiatives that are environmentally responsible and support decarbonisation, although we appreciate there is a role for ambitious and flexible emission targets. We feel that the legislation has been rushed, poorly drafted, and conflicts with independent scientific advice by the Climate Change Committee. There is no question that more sustainable policies in areas like energy, housing and transport can bring benefits to the standard of living enjoyed by people. However, many of our citizens now perceive climate action to mean higher taxes, increased costs for basic goods and services, and a residual threat to jobs and livelihoods, particularly in farming families. This comes as families face the highest tax burden since the Second World War. The DUP are pressing for a fair transition which is inclusive of all communities, households, industries, and addresses the looming threat of further costs threatened by changes to emissions trading schemes and the impact of the EU carbon border adjustment carbon mechanism on trade between Northern Ireland and GB. And Chairman, we are opposed to this paper on the grounds that the Climate Bill Act was passed in 2022. It was a political compromise in the face of a private member's bill from the Greens that would have gone even further had it not been diluted by amendment by the DUP Deira Minister, Edwin Coutts, in order to protect agriculture and the taxpayer in Northern Ireland. There has been a degree of revisionism from some of the opposition parties in terms of our approach. We consistently oppose pursuing a net zero by 2050 target and oppose the amendment to the bill that ultimately tied the executive to this policy. The estimated cost of DERA's draft climate action plan, which is what we're discussing here now, is over £1 billion between now and 2027, £1 billion over 2 years, an extraordinary financial burden on both the public purse and industry, with little supporting evidence or breakdown is provided of any anticipated savings or net benefit to the environment and the Northern Ireland economy. Other recent climate regulations, including the carbon budgets, the 2040 emissions targets, are highly aspirational. And as I said, the Republic acknowledges that, and they're pursuing these objectives, whereas we want to set the tone. The new proposals would cost many hundreds of millions of pounds, and that is why the DUP on this council grouping is opposed to them, as well as the creation of an unjustifiable climate change commissioner. We believe there is an urgent need to inject a sense of realism into Northern Ireland's climate ambitions, and we will oppose this paper. Unfortunately, we appreciate the work of the officers. These are working within the existing legislation, but we cannot accept it. Thank you.
Councillor Riley. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Remarks similar to the previous motion that we discussed. I won't be supporting the stance either. Just I do believe that some of the targets are included in proposals are unachievable, and they're only going to have a very serious impact on people and many of our industries, and particularly the agriculture sector that I'm very concerned about. So I can't, you know, support the papers in front of us tonight as a result of that. I think we should be looking at reviewing some of these targets and some of the proposals that are in place. So I will be supporting it as presented this evening.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Young.
Thanks, Chair. Just a couple of quick things. Could I ask, maybe not now, but if it could be emailed, the outline notes on the disagreements on responses 5, 6, 12, 27 and 31. And also just very quickly, especially in relation to the recent flooding in South Down in Newcastle at the weekend, you know, that's yet another warning that we can't ignore climate action plans. And these, they're not just technical documents, they're actual examples of what we all need to do in terms of common action to slow down climate change and to reduce the potential for so many difficult weather events. So, you know, thanks for putting the paper together. And if you need me to email that request just about the outline notes, I can do that. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Young. Yeah, if you could possibly email that to Connor, what you were suggesting with that too, Connor? Yeah, thank you.
Will do, thank you.
Thanks so much, Chair. And in regards to the previous speaker's request for clarification on various sectors, sections of the paper, I'm just wondering, I'm not knocking anybody for asking questions, but could this have an impact on is there a closing date for the submission, and would the period of time that involves in answering Councillor Young's queries, would that have an impact on the submission application date? Thank you.
I think if I could get those sent through from Councillor Young, we can review that as quick as possible. And from Councillor Enright as well, the suggested amendments as well. Obviously, the submission date was on the 8th of October, but there is a limited time frame then for any amendments, so certainly we can look at that. And through as well, is it? Right, okay, well, so look at the amendments then and then take a further report through to next Destiny Committee.
No problem. I just that I would appreciate a quick turnaround.
Sorry, just updating what we were saying previously. If there's a substantial amendment, then we'll take it through council then, along with the minutes of this meeting. I think that'll work better in terms of the time frame we have to respond. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you very much, Chair.
So proposed by Councillor Enright and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Okay, and Connor will. Okay, there's dissent in the chamber, so we'll take this to a vote as well. So, show of hands, okay? Four. Can the members online please put their hand up if they're...
Can I, sorry, just in really, just I couldn't hear online what that wee proposal was, so just if we could maybe repeat it, so that I don't know if if other people online heard, but I didn't.
So it's just this recommendation that we've just gone through, Councillor Finn, that we're proposing, all right? So somebody, we're just taking the show of hands, so if you can put your hand up if you're for the proposal as it is.
It's 10, 4, 3 against and no abstention.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, we'll move on to item 6, which is the depot charging funding scheme. Connor, you're taking this?
Yes, thanks again, Chair. This report, or for decision purpose, the report to seek approval from the committee to proceed with an application for grant funding for electric vehicle chargers funded through the depot charging scheme. The depot charging scheme launched by UK Cabinet Office in partnership with the Department for Transport. The scheme offers up to 75% funding per organisation for eligible installation costs, including charge points, civil works and energy systems. In terms of recommendations, members are asked to note the contents of the report and approve the submission of an application for grant funding under the depot charging scheme. Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. I noticed the scheme allows anything up to £1 million for any organisation. I really think our Council's ambitions in this area are severely restricted. And it would seem to me, I know that Council, I've pointed out to management before that Council owns lands in Newry that would be suitable for a new depot. Councils in the UK, Westminster, or Durham and other councils are moving to a situation whereby they generate their own renewable energy beside their depots and they fuel their electric fleets for free. It seems to me if someone is offering us £1 million, we should take it. We should use our land, we should build a new depot, we should build a solar farm, and we should migrate to an all-electric fleet as soon as possible. We are still buying expensive diesel vehicles even as we speak. Similarly, in Downpatrick, there was lands along the Flying Horse Road that were long highlighted belonging to this Western Trust, where we were going to build a depot. A similar sort of thing could apply there. We spend £1.1 million a year on diesel. If you take the cost, the annual borrowing, the average borrowing cost to Council of £60 a year per thousand, that would give us anything up to £18 million we could invest in new depots and have a situation whereby we had zero fuel cost powering through two new depots an entire electric fleet and being paid £1 million to do it. So I don't think we're being half as ambitious as we could be. I would encourage the council officers to look at this again. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Enright. I'm just going to let Connor come back.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a point on this, that this is really for funding for shovel-ready schemes. These schemes have to be completed, commissioned and handed over before the 31st March 2026. So, I mean, certainly we will look at other future opportunities, but this is a project that we've already developed and we were about to go to procurement to whenever this funding sort of became available. So it's looking at that existing project that can be delivered before year end. That's why really we're limited to that at this stage.
Connor. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. Connor. For many years, the Council has worked tirelessly in adopting the Green Strategy right across the local authority itself, including waste management and how we go about it. But again, as I say, I've been a firm advocate for updating our Council fleet from capped-out vehicles that is fit for purpose and where possible enhancing our green credentials. But I do welcome this development and fully supportive of what has been envisaged and set out, and I propose and recommend that we proceed with what's listed to go ahead with. So
thanks, Councillor Andrews. So Councillor Andrews has proposed. Could I get a seconder there for item 6? Seconded by Councillor Larkin. Thank you. Okay, item 7 is the Sustainability and Climate Change Strategy public consultation. And Connor, this is you again.
Thanks again, Chair. Purpose of this report is to provide an update on the draft sustainability and climate change strategy for Council and to seek approval to proceed with public consultation. Council is currently developing its first climate change and sustainability strategy, and the first draft was brought to committee previously. Further work has been ongoing to develop the final draft, including a workshop with key stakeholders across Council and a councillor workshop. And we've obviously also been in consultation with other councils. Members are hopefully aware that there was a presentation as well of the draft strategy at the S&E working group in September. So again, taking the report as read, but just mentioning a few key dates. We're proposing that public consultation is intended to take place from 13th of November 25 for 12 weeks, closing on 6th of February 2026. Comments be received by MMD Speak Service. The planned timeframe for publication and launch of the strategy is, going by current estimates, going to be the start of next financial year, so April 26, 2027. So members are asked to note the draft sustainability and climate change strategy in Appendix 1, along with the attached consultation questions in Appendix 2, and approve the launch of the 12-week public consultation. Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. Could I get a proposer and a seconder there for item? Oh, sorry, Councillor Andrews.
Just more or less what I'm going to do. I do welcome the paper and support the recommendations, and it is a good opportunity for the public to come on board and have their say and input into this process, so, and to encourage them where possible to avail of this. So happy to propose that we proceed.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Could I get a seconder there for item 7, please? Councillor Kate Murphy, thank you. Sorry, Councillor Finn, are you looking in?
Yeah, it was just a wee comment, maybe just to ask Connor in terms of that public consultation, how that's going to be carried out, because obviously it is a really important piece of work, and I just wondered if it's going to go to, you know, schools, businesses, just in terms of kind of who we are going to be approaching for consultation and how that's going to be undertaken.
Can I come back to you on that, Councillor Finn? Just I'll speak to Eamon just to see exactly what the strategy is for communication and that. Obviously, as the paper says there, it's going to be responses via NMD Speak Service, but also we welcome responses from all the elected members as well, and happy for any elected members to contact us directly or via the email address in the report. But I'd certainly ask Eamon to come back to you, sure, about any other wider consultation around it.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Connor. Okay, items 8 to 14 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Could I get a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session? Proposed by Councillor Jackson and seconded by... Okay, everyone. Whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 8, contract modification, fixed wire testing, emergency lighting and small electrical works contract. In a proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Larkin, it was agreed to approve the contract modification as detailed in Section 2 of the officer's report. Item 9, appointment of public analyst. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Rowan, it was agreed to appoint the individuals identified in Section 2.1 of the officer's report to act as public analysts for Newry, Mourne and Down District Council. Item 10, health and safety partnership officer funding. On the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Jackson, it was agreed to approve funding to support the health and safety partnership officer's shared service between the 11 councils and the health and safety executive Northern Ireland until 31st of March 2028. Item 11, business case for the provision of dog kennelling services. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Young, it was agreed to approve the business case to procure dog kennelling. Item 12, the electric vehicle charging infrastructure update. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the report. Item 13, the action sheet from the Sustainability and Environment Working Group meeting of the 16th of September 2025 and presentation on climate change from the same meeting. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the documents. And item 14, the ARC 21 Joint Committee meeting, in committee minutes of Thursday, the 28th of August 2025, and Joint Committee members' monthly bulletin of 25th of September 2025. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the documents. Okay, I'm going to take item 15 and 16 together. They're both for noting. So 15 is the ARC 21 Joint Committee meeting held on the Thursday, the 28th of August 2025. And item 16 is the online reporting of dog bullying incidents. Councillor Riley?
Yeah, could I just ask, the dog bullying reporting online, I've asked a couple of people to use it, and they're coming back and saying, could it be done anonymously? Because you have to give your name and your address and email. But they can't understand why, if you're just reporting where dogs are found, why you have to give all that information. I've assured people under data protection their name would never be given out to anybody, but it's just a point, Sinead, if it could be looked at, an anonymous reporting facility.
Yes, sir. The purpose of having a name and address and a contact detail there is so that the officers can go back to the person that's reporting it. Generally, people do want to get some feedback. We can look at, and as you say, when a complaint is being dealt with, sure those details. However, if a case does go to court and a witness statement would be required, that is when that information would become available. I can speak to the officers and the committee to see whether there's a request their details to be kept anonymous while still getting a report of actions taken.
Thank you, Sinead. Can I just get a proposal and a seconder there? Oh, sorry, Councillor Young.
Thank you, Chair. Just very quickly, are the dog fouling incidents going into a separate database, because the point of the motion was to target persistent offenders and to streamline resources into those particular areas? Thank you, Chair.
Through the Chair, so we have an online system that records the information and allocates the service request to the officer involved. The purpose of the online form is to give residents the opportunity out of office hours to report the dog fouling. So the information that goes through that system is inputted to the database that the officers are all collated, whether it comes through on telephone, email, the online form. So where we'll be pulling the information from through the mapping exercise, all of that data will be in
the question. Yeah. Thanks, Sinead. Just once again, could I get a proposal and a seconder there for 15 and 16, proposed by Councillor Larkin and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Okay, that concludes our meeting for October. Thank you.
Thank you, Irina.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.